The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Amen. You know, there's no better place to be than church. And I wonder, if there's no church on earth, how would the earth look like? It would be like a jungle where lions kill foxes, viper hunt cockatrice. Many things will be there. But the Lord's legacy and portion on earth is the church. And you'll find out that is always the place that is also attracted to the enemy. Out of the old earth, God created the Garden of Eden and He put man there. But Satan will not stop. You know, Eden wasn't the only terrain of the earth. It's just a carved-out place that God designed for Adam. But it will still come. Because of the jealousy of God. Jealousy of God on man. That's why the psalmist said in the book of Psalm 8, what is man? So man is just who, is what. Meaning, there are substances that God expects man to have. What is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou wast visited him. For thou hast made him a little what, lower than the angel, and hast crowned him with what, glory and honor. So you are not ordinary to be made man. Is not for naught. Is for a particular purpose. And that purpose is why you are on earth, to discover. Hallelujah. You know, it has been a great time this weekend, starting from Wednesday, that it was discussing about the nature of God, which is love. And we bear witness to how the meeting runs this morning. Everything that is being exposed, open to us this morning, is pointing towards that direction. Hallelujah. Can we open our Bible to the book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We are going to read together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Can we all read? Can we want to go? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before what? The foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. So God is not trying to show anything. He's blessed. He's the blessed and only potentate forever. So why God does things? He does it out of His nature, His essence. You know, many times we think that God is not kind to us enough. And we have questions in our hearts. And if we should look deeply into those things, those matters of our heart and issues of our hearts, they are things that can be traceable to what we call blessing. Blessings. Maybe you felt that you don't have money enough as students. You are not doing well in your academics. And you push it to God. And I attend all the meetings. I come to church every day. I pray. And yet, my GP is not moving up. Hallelujah. You think you have done all you should do. And you are not seeing physical results. Meanwhile, in those things, if we look at it, sometimes there are lapses that you are not measuring up. There are expectations you are not measuring up to. Now, the blessing of God is beyond what God can give you in the natural as evidence. Though, I like how the money teaching went this morning, to see that the gospel is old, is awesome. The gospel is, we are not trying to balance the gospel. The gospel is balanced. Hallelujah. So that's why there's no gospel of prosperity or gospel of motivation. No. The gospel is the gospel of Christ and the gospel of God. And it has been right from creation of man. What God was preaching and ministering to Adam in the garden is still the same thing he's saying today. God at sundry time and in a diverse manner spake in time past to the what? To the Father. By the what? By the prophets. So the program of salvation is an ancient thought in God. It's not less. It's not less. So why we think that God has robbed us somehow is because our eyes have not been enlightened to actually see the blessedness of God. Say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are three personalities here called mystery. And who are they? Can we point them out? God, Father, and what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the first blessing. And this blessing is an inheritance. Christ is an inheritance that every man must strive to get. So when you get born again, like what we have learned this morning on the course of the school of life, you are open to the milk of the word of God under the Holy Ghost to stabilize your feet, so as to graduate unto the meat. So those things that we call blessing, those things that we think we are being denied of, if we have used the Holy Ghost well, those things are under the custody of the Holy Ghost to give. So most of our complaint most times is because we have not used the Holy Ghost well. Like Pastor Lydia used to say, that we have not maximized the Holy Ghost. It doesn't take God anything to attend to your need. But what law are you applying? What commandments do you receive? Like the example I give, as students, maybe you are not doing well enough, and you think you are coming to church, you are laboring, you are doing this and that, but on the course of you studying, what commandment do you receive? How to, yes. how to read, how to study. So, commandment is about life. Meaning, when you even receive blessing, so to say, because we call it blessings, is to give you life in addition. Seek it first, the kingdom of God, and its wrought righteousness, and all other things shall be what? Added to you. So, our blessing is not the blessing of the world or the Gentile, because they have more strength to labor and to gather much, and they have results to show for it. But when God, we ascribe blessing to you, is to deliver life. Hallelujah. So without commandments, no man is fully blessed. Though you can be blessed, God can look at the Arabian nation today. They are sitting on the bed of oil. Yeah, they are the enemy of God. So what does the scripture say? Let's quickly look the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That he may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and set rain on the just and the what? Unjust. 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publican do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than other? Do not even the what? Publican do so. Then 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your what? Your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, is what? Perfect. That is nature. Hallelujah. Meaning God distributes his blessing to all mankind, even his enemy. Do you know what? Even Satan is still enjoying today is the benevolence of God. It doesn't cost God anything. The day he sin, he will cast him to hell or destroy him. But the day God created him, the fire is just a time bomb. That we destroy him is already in him, and is going to walk in that law until he fulfilled it. Hallelujah. Meaning, when we are talking about the nature of God, actually, is love. And God does everything he does out of that. And that's what God wants to deliver to us first. So this mystery, these three mysteries, the mystery of Christ, or the Father, and what? And God. Hallelujah. They have blessings they want to deliver to you and I. Now, in that book of Ephesians, chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he what? Love does. God is rich. Can you say God is rich? So when God wants to show forth his wealth, he will work out his love, the nature of his love. He will work it out. Even when we are dead in sin, had he quickened us together with Christ by grace. Are you what? Saved. In verse 7, that in the ages to come, he must shew the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So when you talk about the blessedness of God, the riches of God, what are they? Mercy. God is rich in mercy. God is rich in grace. God is rich in kindness. God is rich in love. And these are the nature God wants to transfer to you and I. And that is our essence of being safe. Aside all other things that God will do. Even why he is doing that is to work out that nature in you. When you ask him for anything, and he does it. He doesn't do it the way he does it to an unbeliever. He does it so as to deliver a nature. That's why sometimes when you ask some things from him, he will tell you to be patient. Hallelujah. He will arrange circumstances around you that demand patience. What is he trying to do? He's trying to show his love. He's trying to work a kind of nature in you, which is what? Is his own nature. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. Show to us this nature in full. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowers of what? Mercies. Not just mercies. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing what? One another and forgiving one another. And if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Hallelujah. So all of those things they mentioned there, they are the riches of God. God is so rich in them. That is the wealth of God. Imagine the creator of heaven and earth. He did everything for man. And the same man today affronts him. Hallelujah. On many grounds. But he's not moved. Why? He knows that your enemy is within. And is the thing that he wants to deal with. So why God show more love to us is to deal with the enemy within us. Hallelujah. So there's no how we can come into this very nature of God without God's commandment. Can we say God's commandment? Hallelujah. So anytime we hear commandments, it looks like one big thing. Because of the way we are being raised, most of us, our background, the way our parents command us, give us instructions. So we use that mindset to look at commandment. Commandment is simply instruction of God for living. Let's see the book of Genesis, chapter 26, verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my what? My law. The preceding verse 4. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Let's go to 5 now. So, Abraham is given a commandment for blessing. God will multiply his seed. By him, all the nations of the earth will be what? Will be blessed. But what is the condition tied to that? Because that Abraham was obeyed my voice. And kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my what? My laws. That is said, in the arrangement of this category, the law is the least. And everything there is the word of God. So, status, commandments, charge, voice. Voice there is the word of God. So, until you receive the voice, which is the word, you won't be able to keep laws. So the very first thing God does to a man is that he keeps speaking. He keeps speaking to generate laws. Hallelujah. So that law doesn't stop at that point. It will lead you to a status. Then, commandment. Can we say commandment? So in every of our journey as believer, there is commandments. In fact, like the way we have defined it is instruction for living. And we must not be void of that. Instruction for living. So we can't do well as a believer. We can't do well in doctrine without commandments. Now, the scripture said that a Levi to deliver bread for what? Elijah. You know, bells and bread. Yoruba call it akara, isn't it? For that bell to take that bread and not perch on one tree and eat it on the way is a commandment. Hallelujah. So commandments oftentimes is so powerful. It works against your prevalent nature. You can't change without commandments. Nature can't change without commandments. Because it is the secret of entrances. Into what? Into the nature. They are the secret code of God. That's why no man can barge into God. There's something that keeps God, that makes him who he is. It's his commandments. And if that code have not been worked in you, you can't know him as love. Hallelujah. So, we can't prosper in testimony, in status, even in the law, without commandments. Because commandment is life. Can we say commandment is life? Hallelujah. So, the voice of God to us in this season is to make us see that he loved us. But there's no how the understanding can come to us without receiving commandments. It is what you know you will work done. If somebody just brought a toy gun and pointed straight at you, you will just be laughing because you know a toy gun. But AK-47. So what's the difference? Knowledge and understanding. So commandment is understanding. Hallelujah. Why God does what he does. So many questions in our life has always arisen because we have not received enough commandments. You know, the issue of Esau has been one of the story that looks so captivating in this season. Let's look at the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. Genesis 25, verse 21. The scripture was saying, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of bread saw his what? Birthright. I question that. What fornicator did Esau committed? Esau married. He married legally. Though two or three wives. But with the mind, we read into what? The meaning, fornication. A fornicator is somebody who have an affair. Maybe out of wedlock. Hallelujah. Or a single person in our own time now, having boyfriend, girlfriend. So that's a fornicator. The word fornicator here is adulteration. Mist. Which the book of Revelation call lukewarmness. You are not cold. You are not hot. It's a nature. So it says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of what? Out of my mouth. That's fornication. Hallelujah. Then profanity. A nature that is not committed to the promise. Let's see. 25:21. And Isaac entreated the Lord of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. Many of us, husband, you can see a duty and responsibility you have here. Entreated means to intercede, to supplicate, to beg. While this woman was having the struggle, the man did not shout on her. He went and entreated. He stood in gap as a head of the home. Because if commandment is to be delivered about this child, it's supposed to be received from the man and passed to the wife. Hallelujah. And every man in this assembly must not fail of that. So your wife cannot be pregnant and you are always snoring at home. You don't have a prayer partner that is consistently praying over her. You are failing on your job as a man. You must entreat on behalf of your wife as Isaac demonstrated there. She was barren as the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah and his wife conceived. Even while she has not yet conceived, he entreated the Lord. So you cannot keep complaining. That is said, the reason why we complain our mama is because we are proud. When you are not praying, you are what? Proud. And it's because you are lazy. And the children struggled together with him. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. She has said, by, I believe, what the husband have shared with her. She has said, take it upon herself as a responsibility to also pray. So you can't be carrying a life and be toying with it. Many of the assaults sometimes that happen is because we may likely allow it. You have your duty as wife carrying pregnancy to pray. Your husband have duties to stand in agreement. You have your mutual agreement prayer. Then you have your own personal prayer. Hallelujah. To do. So, now let's move on. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowel. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. What's that? We thought is partial. Olorun ma soju saju. No. When they said that one people shall be stronger than the other people, the elder shall what? Serve the younger. It's responsibility. It's not partial. It's responsibility. And God fashioned Esau in such a way, he is so graced that he can carry out those responsibilities. For what? For the inheritance. For the promise that God promised Abraham here. You know, we read about the commandments in the preceding verse 25. Hallelujah. Amen. So, is for responsibility. It's not because he's partial. He's going to serve his brother. And that is said, service is the way of the what? Not the way to the top. So when the parents told Esau about this peradventure, what was her mind? What was the notion he had? And what was the commandment Esau is receiving? from this. Now let's move further. And the first came out red, all over like a what? An hairy garment. They call his name Esau. Do you see fashion? God wear Esau with grace, endowment. Hallelujah. And after that call came his brother out, and his son took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Hallelujah. Endowment to get the inheritance and deliver to his brother. You know that promise for both of them, but one needs to bear it. One needs to forerun it. That was the same thing about John the Baptist. We learned about him this morning. And men like that, look at the way God designed John the Baptist. He was man of wilderness, covered with what? Camel what? Skin. Look at Esau. He tells you assignment, responsibility. But Esau failed to realize this without commandment. Yes. Hallelujah. So, Esau grew. He was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Esau is free. A man of the wilderness who does not align with commitment. I believe so much. Why his case got to that point? He doesn't have even good relationship at home. He didn't have good relationship at home. You know, it's an independent man. A man that always stay in the field to hunt. And with so much strength, Jacob look what? Weaker. So it doesn't give any consensus. And I begin to look at it, the politics that play in that home. Esau is in tune with the father. Jacob was in tune with the mother. A home should not run that way. That's why we have duty as parents. You must discern your children and help them and position them right. I believe they should have positioned these two children right. They should have seen. Esau should have known the essence why he's made that way. That this is your hairy garment that they wore you with. You are a red man. Meaning you have template for the inheritance. It's not for you alone. It's for both for you and your brother. You are to forerun your brother and bring your brother into this very inheritance. Hallelujah. Now let's see Psalm 133. I want to bring out something there. 133. Behold. Anytime scripture says behold, it's not just to look. Pause and think. Look at it very well. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to do what? Dwell together in unity. Mark the word brethren there. The next verse. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed. Even Aaron's bed that went down to the skirt of his garment. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, from there the Lord commanded the word, the blessing, even what? Life forevermore. So, if Esau would have been blessed and bear the inheritance, he would have been amidst his brethren, his household. That's where God placed the blessing of his inheritance. Though he think that he has it. In almost time, we are so confident of ourselves. You are well endowed. You are red. But red means both life and death. That's why red is blood. And that's why the thing fighting us are bloody. They are bloody. They are inside. They are traits. Inherent things. You will now see why Jesus was addressing Herod. Herod was of these descendants. Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 32. You know, many things has happened, generation, like four kingdoms. Before I get to this point, a kingdom can last 500 years sometimes before it fizzles out, another one. So over 1,500 to 1,800 years, Herod came on the scene. He was Edomite and Idumea. Idumea means height of flesh. You can see how flesh propagated himself to this point. So while Jesus was addressing him, he's addressing the nature straight. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that force. Who is a force? A wild dog. Yes, force is a wild dog. Force is from the dog family. And it's a solitary hunter. He hunts alone. So it's a nature God is addressing that lineage. He doesn't stay with brethren. He does his thing alone. A loner. Now, when you compare a force to a lion can deny his nature. When he's feeling hungry, until he sees prey and prey on it, and kill it and eat it fresh. But a force also is omnivorous. Also is an hunter. But if that is not available, it will foliage. Eat anything. Dead animal or plants. Compromising his nature. Hallelujah. No wonder the book of Psalm was saying, it says something about lion. Psalm 34 verse 10. So many of us, most time, we compromise. The young lion do lack and suffer what? Hunger. But they that see the law shall not what? Want any good thing. So lion do lack and what? Suffer. He will not compromise. He will not go for a dead animal. Or go and eat plants. Hallelujah. So Psalm 104 verse 21. Now let's say again. No wonder our Lord Jesus Christ from the tribe of what? He's called the lion tribe of what? Judah. He's a consistent nature. The glory of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. Forever, the Lord shall rejoice in his work. This shows consistency. So, lion do not compromise his nature. He doesn't deny his nature until he sees prey to prey on and eat. But you see, force, there's compromise. So sometimes, you're under this message. You know, it's a dispensation. Apostle Paul was talking about a dispensation of grace that was given to him. Hallelujah. And as it's coming to us fresh, you believe there are other things that are not aligned in your life, so to say. And you are looking for a miss. You are looking for things to do. What the Lord is trying to make us to see that is you must be consistent. You must stay on course. Nothing must make you compromise. For you to attain that nature of love, you must be consistent. Because there are many things that will happen to you along this journey that will look like maybe God is not fair. And I believe I'm saying that directly to some people here. This morning, God has always been faithful.
Bali, 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 Bali.
The Lord is saying, you are the one I am addressing. I am attending to you. You, I am a faithful God. In my mercy, in my grace, I am pick you from your family, from your lineage, from your tribe, from your tongue. I brought you in my everlasting mercy to show you the path of my faithfulness, to show you the path of my blessing. My blessing. My blessing. My blessing is my commandments. It's my life. It's my secret. The blessing I have shown to you is you being in the midst of your brethren, because that's where I command the blessing. Stay on course. Stay on the path. You are coming into compromise, says the Lord. I see your soul. I see your heart. You are compromising already. You are taking second thoughts. I am not in that thought. I am not in that way. That journey you are going is transcendental. It's a way and a path you can chart for your next generation. Why I am not there? Your seed cannot be accounted as mine if you walk in that way. So come back to this path. Come back to this way. I want to raise you. I want to extend you beyond you. I want to show you the path of life. My blessing for you is my nature, the nature which is my love. And I'm stretching forth that hands of love towards you. Come back. There's a door open. Come in. I am right there. Come. 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 And you will be well received. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Esau denied the inheritance by falling prey to his nature. Reverend K said during life campaign, there's a demon that everyone has, and you must fight to conquer it. Everybody must fight to conquer his demon, because it has power to what? To dominate. And the only thing that will bring it down is commandments. Hallelujah. So Jesus said to Herod, and he said unto them, go tell ye and tell that force, behold, I cast out devils. Devils is not just maybe a spirit. It's a nature. You will see, it is this, this Herod now was the son of the former Herod that killed and slay children down from 2 years old during the birth of Jesus. This is his son. This is his product. By the time Jesus was speaking, that one have died. His kingdom was divided into four tetrarchs. So, I cast out devils. I do cure today and tomorrow. And the third day, I shall be what? Perfected. Hallelujah. Let's go back there. Meaning, there's something wrong in your lineage. That the only cure is when you come. When you acknowledge and see the work I'm doing. Hallelujah. It's addressing errors straight to his heart. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 2 verse 6. And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the last among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So he's a murderer from the beginning. And that is the nature of the what? Of the enemy. So, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. As if he care. Can you see cunning crafts? He's very crafty. And when ye have found him, bring me words again, that I may come and worship him also. So eventually, do you know how many children were killed? The Lord have to tell Mary and Joseph to take the child to Egypt. Blood flow. And that is the nature of Edom. It's a killer. a murderer. Hallelujah. Now we see a case also in the book of Matthew 14:6. It's part of our reading this week. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. You want to wonder what kind of artistic step this girl took to gain the heart of the father to the point that he promised him up to the tenth part of the kingdom. Yes, a stepfather. So you see that is a nature calling out for what? Nature. That dance is not ordinary. It's an ancestral dance. The daughter of Herodias danced before him, whereupon he promised with an oath, can we to give her whatsoever she will ask? And she being before instructed of her mother. That mother is a wicked mother. Revenge. Unnecessary hate. Because John corrected you. What you have done is not right. Why should Herod take the wife of his brother? That was what John said. He kept that hate in his heart. So many times, we need to check, what are we keeping? Is it commandments of love or hate? To the point that she didn't only kept it for herself. He poured it to her daughter. So many times, it's not until you sit your daughter down or your children down and tell them, you must not go to that place. So your conversation, your manner, your conduct, they are watching it and they are seeing it. You know, children likes to imitate. They imitate a lot. So it's not by sitting them down in one class and teaching them hate. We transfer hate by conversation, by lifestyle. So this woman has developed a kind of venom. He passed that venom to her daughter. So when she came, what did she say? Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. That sorry is not sincere. Because you are not Spartan. Spartan are those people that doesn't back up on their law. They don't back. Once they say it, the law of the Medes and Persian. But it's because of his pride. You know, many people are there. It's his birthday. They say where the word of the king is power. But a wise king can change his mind. A wise king can change his mind. How many times has God changed his mind about us? Look at when he wants to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham have to persuade God to reduce the number to maybe 10 or 15. If God found 15 or 10 in that city, he won't destroy that city. And that is just a pattern of wickedness. Go back, turn from your way. Your way is destruction. You are a hunter, a destroyer, that spread hate. I have made you, I have called you in the midst of your brethren. Devise no hate. Devise no hate. Turn. turn from your way of perdition, from your destructive way. Your mind is too active to scheme, to plan, to lay siege amidst my flock, amidst my people. I won't count you innocent. You are not innocent. I am the Lord revealing your nature that can be to your destructive hand. Turn, for my hands is wide open. If thou should turn today, I am here to receive you into this very allotment, says the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, he was not just being sorry, but because of his pride, because of his reputation. Do know Pilate didn't want to deliver Jesus to the end of the Jewish council. He even make a pretense to wash his hand after the wife have told him about the dream. But he still did it because of his influence. He know that he's going to lose popularity or favor of the Jew. So many times we do things to gain popularity. We don't want to lose the commendation of people. What will my mother say? What will my father say? And you know the path you are told in is the truth. But you can't stand. You still have allegiance somewhere to a friend who is not in the truth you are in presently. One concord or agreement has what? Belial. With Christ. They are opposing nature. Christ is a nature called righteousness. Belial is a nature called what? Unrighteousness. So he said he's sorry, and then we sat with him at meat. Can we go back to where we are reading before? And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. I don't know. Between you and your half, is it half daughter now we call it? And then we sat within at meat. He commanded it to be given her. Can we move? And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. I believe one mission John has is to show what? To show the Messiah. Just as Satan stood with Esau for him to betray his inheritance. Another that looked like Esau is here. Satan will not allow him to rest. To trouble him to the point of beheading him. Hallelujah. Though he has finished his mission. And he said was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. So what do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with the head? So after now, you have taken revenge. You can only pacify your wicked soul. And that soul cannot be pacified. You will still thirst for more. You can't satisfy wickedness. That he was saying on Wednesday that this terrorist that killed, that he said one time, God saved the people that they did not kill his father. You are killing another person's father, mother. You are raping women, killing children. And you still have that conscience that they shouldn't kill your own father. You see, that's wickedness. And we should not quickly point an accusing finger. We can all journey to that point. Today we are saying terrorists. Many of us, we are terrorists in our soul. Yes. Because it's a nature. Forget about their own natural expression. But it's a nature. The way you talk with your colleagues, with friends. You know, a wife can also be a terrorist at home. An husband also can be a terrorist. Terrorism is respecter of no person. By the time you enter the house, the children are looking for where to hide. Under chair, under bed. So it's a nature the Lord must deliver us from. And we must begin to see. We must begin to see. So he appeased our wicked soul by killing John the Baptist, beheading him. Beheading him. Hallelujah. So we must know that God doesn't have hate. In any shade, you might think, oh, God is not kind to me. No, he's never hate. There's no nature of hate in God. God is a being of love. And that is the nature he is working in us. Hallelujah. Can we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16? Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for what? Morsel of bread, sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he will have inherited the blessing, can we say the blessing? He was rejected. I don't want to see you. Why? You despise what was committed to your charge. The inheritance you need to deliver to your brother, you make it personal. You live your life the way you want it. You are not committed to anything. So, in this season, the light shows to us is that we must be committed. You're a friend that they can't trust with anything. If they give you money, you will spend it. And you will explain it out. I'm sorry. I'll refund it next week. But did you call the person and ask? In fact, in the law court, that's theft. Taken without consent. So, most times, we are not committed to matters of life or matter committed to our charge because of there's a sense we have there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But when matter comes to matter, in the heights of heaven, you are profane. So we must be committed. As wife, committed to your children, to your husband. As husband, committed to your family. God set the solitary in family. God will have allowed the solitary to be. But he knows nature will not be dealt with in solitary. That's why the strength that sin has over a man is secret. As the scripture says, anyone that covers his sin will not prosper. Immediately you expose a thing, he loses its power. So you being in a family, in an household, even in this assembly, is a safe haven for you. And you must not joke, because that's your lot and inheritance. Somehow, each tribe were divided into 12 tribes. They have their family. They have their tribes. And also in the spirit. That's why you must know, you being member of Eternal Life Embassy is not by chance or coincidence. It's heaven that plots it. And that's where your lot fall. So you cannot take your back today and feel, oh, it's like this place is not juicy. I want to look for a greener pasture without commandment. I'm not saying God cannot say that. But there will be clear evidences and witnesses for you to do that. What we are talking about is very, very essential. It's about your allotment in the spirit. Church is a very dangerous terrain. The way you are seeing us now, we look at some people, the MTC. We are well fortified in the spirit. So every man must fall into his or her own order. Not, in order not to be what? A prey. So what I'm saying, I say, is that God have put forth wisdom and have mapped out how our life should go. And that way is in pattern of commandment that will be revealing from time to time to us. So imagine you are joking with it. So it's like you are trading your inheritance. Hallelujah. Amen. So can we go to that book of Genesis 25 again? And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called what? Edom. Red. That was the color of the beginning. Adam was red earth. So, being first is responsibility. Being first is commitment. Being first or serving your brothers is not being, hallelujah, it's not a shameful thing to serve your brother. That's what I want to say. Now, the scripture says, if a brother commits a sin that is not unto death, that you should give him life. What life do you have to give your brother or sister? I said you should restore such. Meaning there's a fellowship, a communion between you and your brother that when you see him in a fault that you need to call his attention to, that needs to be what? Corrected. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore such as one in the what? Spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be what? Tempted." Can we say brethren? Can we say brethren? You can't joke with that. In fact, your allotment of inheritance in life is tied to your brethren. You can't come into life. That's why even those who serve in the throne, they are called brethren. They are servants. Servants of our God. And they have their communion. They have their fellowship. So their brethren or fellowship are different levels. But there's one unique force binding everyone at his own level. Love. That is your commandment to keep so as to ascend. Hallelujah. So it said, ye that are what? Ye. That word ye there is you. Plural. It means it's in a company. Though you can be singular, but majorly, why is talking about brethren? It means you have a fold that you are open to, that can wash you, that can cleanse you, that you are not ashamed of. Most of us, we still keep part of our life away, and we hide under one finger as if your creator didn't know your secrets. And that's why nature remains with us. There are some nature that will never go until you open it up. Amidst your brethren, so giving you life there is either they pray with you, they encourage you, then they start overseeing your life. So you see, the job of overseer is not only restricted to pastor. You are an overseer over your company, your brethren. You have 2, 3, 4 friends. All of you together must be oversee each other. That's where they can remit your sin. That's where they can cleanse you. Hence, your sin will remain with you. And you know, you may be in a company, you are very smart. You hide. That's how complicated a soul can be. You are open, but since you are not open, you know, Yoruba used to say something. Aja den le makuro nile. Eni ko omo, eni mo oko. That is God. They give that appendage to God. But most of us, that's how we are. Our coloration is only evil. Yes. Variations. You can't keep that nature amidst brethren. You must be washed. You must be open. You must be sincere. Esau wasn't sincere enough. Though he broke down, he was crying. But you have lost the inheritance already. Jacob said, everything I've said will come to pass. It can't be reversed. Why? You journey there. You know, there's a law you obey to that point. So now, you will actually serve your brother until you are raised enough to break the yoke. So, that breaking the yoke is that you will still align with your brother. But don't know Esau. He's a wild man. After he have built city, marry wife, that is, he's supposed not to marry. He's supposed to have married from the lineage of Abraham. Build city. In fact, the entire record is seed, dukes. Those are princes of the earth, mighty man. At a time when he met Jacob, while Jacob was coming from Laban's house with his wife, they said to, by the time came, he said, this place will not be enough for us. He separated. That was his undoing. He's supposed not to separate from his brethren. Because it's a lot. Even breaking that yoke is when he's amidst his brethren. So there are many yoke we are bearing. Because our life is not open to the brethren life. Some disease, some things, some nature are blood. And until we open them up, we cannot be cured from it. Now, in the natural, for Esau, even to break that yoke, it takes like 1,500 years. That was the time Jesus came, during the reign of Herod, and with connivance of the Roman, that same nature. Now, what's the way God actually did? You know, sometimes we don't want to do something, but if God so much loves you, he will force you into it. That prophecy came to pass that Esau will also be joined to his brother. There was one terrible Levite that rose in that history of their lineage. He have to conquer Edom. Conquer them. Then he now gave them one condition. The only reason why you live is if all of you circumcise. So they all circumcised. He circumcised them and he absorbed them. Today, the real descendants of Esau, you can't trace. They have already joined naturally with Israel. You can't trace them. It has fizzled out. But that's the thing it doesn't want to do in the beginning. Heaven still have a way of aligning that, because the essence for the promise and the inheritance is for both of them. They are co-heir of salvation. So sometimes, if you will lay God, God will lay you. So it's better to allow God. To allow God, most times, we struggle. Most times. But you see the love of God and the jealousy of God over the descendants of Esau. And you see the love of God over Jacob and Israel. So God's ordination will still come to pass, because it's not about Esau or Jacob. It's about man. It's about you and I. And through our Lord Jesus Christ now, we have been bought. You know, this Bible reading opened many things that we are doing. You see, the generation of Ham is the second son of Noah. He's traceable to be Africa. Shem was the Abrahamic lineage. While Japheth, we trace them to be all those European nations like Roman, all of that. But what I'm saying, Esther, is that God's jealousy is upon humanity. Through our Lord Jesus Christ now, every race has been what? Has been fused. Has been fused together. So, Africa may be this way. We may be backward. But for a reason, and there's a new mind that we must all receive. Whether you are European, an African, an American, that Christ is the blood. That blood is called brotherhood that binds every believer. If you are not buying into that blood, you will suffer. Forget about the Western civilization, what is going on. In fact, they are going into more decadence now. So God will use every factor, every condition that man has created for himself, he will still use it for redemption of man. So, Ham saw the nakedness of his father and he despised it. What we are hearing, the commandment we are given, is the secret of God, is God's nakedness. So, while you are rejecting it, you are living a contrary life. You are behaving like Ham. We should not despise the love of God. Hallelujah. Can we look at the book of Philippians? Daddy talks so much about letting go of our reputation, because that's where the problem is with man. So you see our Lord Jesus Christ there, but made himself. God didn't make him all. He made what? Himself. Because he know it's about inheritance. So there's a way he positioned himself for the inheritance. Jesus is God in flesh. He will have chosen to live as God. Of what? No reputation. And took upon him the what? Form of a what? A servant. So you can't come into lowliness or humility without taking a form. And that form will be deliberate. And what is that form? A servant. That is said on Wednesday, it is easier for you to accept command from people that are above you. But the test of your humility is when you receive instruction from the people below. And you now give a vivid example that maybe an husband and wife get married, they were still living and all of that, making things to be fine. A time came, the wife rose to a position in her working place. Now as a boss or a director of a company. He said his attitude will change because she will carry it over. That thing, everybody is saying, ma, you will bring it to your house. Even one time, Celine was asked, who are you? She said, I am a musician. I am a sister. I am a wife. That's an unbeliever. Though she was once a Christian. All those people, they grew up in church. But Satan took them. He was able to place things in their... She was able to place things in their what? Priority. That's how God designed life. And you must know. You must seek to learn and walk in that path. No matter whom you are, if you are not taking a form of a servant, you cannot inherit that nature called love, because it takes love to serve. And that is said, without a building being raised, you cannot walk in that service called love. You create a template for love formation, and that template is being a servant. Making yourself a servant. Even at home, between brothers and sisters, most of us who are senior or an elder, we take advantage many times over your siblings. And there are some siblings that are also smarter. They too take advantage. So it's not here or there. Conforming. He said, let this mind be in you, which was what? Also in Christ. We must receive this mind, which was also in Christ. Then verse 6, where we came from. Who being is continuous. You know, you can be in a form for a season, having hope of better future. I'm just passing time. Things will soon change. So you say yes sir to everybody. In fact, some people even position themselves to rise, to climb up. But by the time you get to the ladder, you remove the ladder. That's what is happening in Nigeria today. All our politicians, go and check details of their life, their beginning. I was saying one time that all the Boko Haram terrorists, all of them we're having today, they began from family. Family raised them. But if family have done its job well, we won't have all those nuisance in the society. So it means that where this gospel we are still preaching, where it will rest, is in the family. And there's a big job on our hands. As parents, as singles, because you may say, I'm in school now. Let me just enjoy my life. No. You are making way for posterity. And that's how you should see it. You are living with someone, staying with families. That mind must run you. You must know how to take care of children. It's not until you give back to your own. Because what you have not been doing for other children, you won't do it for yourself. You know that some mothers, the scripture talk about one belt that when he lays egg, he cover it with sand and go away as if nothing will crush it. Some of us, that's the nature we have. Towards our children, we don't care. You don't see that you are training, you are positioning what? A posterity. That's our job, as single, as husband, as wife. And everything is about commitment. Can we say commitment? So this commitment is called losing your reputation. No one who is committed to a cause that won't lose his or her reputation. Can I show it? Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wife, submit to your own husband. Now, what we think is that, love. No, women, we think we have an advantage. Can love me? And we assume we love. But do you know that love is a higher submission? Love is death. He said, love your own wife as Christ. How did Christ love the church? He laid down his life. So that is a higher submission. You have submission to do as husband. Submission. Your own submission is even higher. So nobody has an escape route. We are all caught in the web. You know the ram that they used to substitute Isaac? He was caught in the ticket. Yes, that's God. That's God for you. And that's the design of salvation. No man has advantage. All our status in life is to this end. You are poor, you are rich, you are a boss, you are a servant. In fact, it tells in the scripture, it says, if you are a servant, don't seek to be free. As you are serving your master or mistress that seems to be wicked, you are serving Christ. What kind of commandment is that? He is to save you. Because after the whole process, you will be made a being of love. That nothing, you are not abrasive, nothing gets you anyhow. Most of us, when little things happen, we are destabilized already. Yes, Jacob was talking about Reuben. Can we see Reuben, the blessing of Jacob upon the tribes? That's Genesis chapter 49. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. I don't know the devil that is always against the first. Even naturally, if you are a firstborn here, you must be serious with your life. You must labor. Because ordination of life is upon you. And you will not have it on the platter of God. My might and beginning of my strength. The what? Excellency of what? Dignity. The excellency of power. See commendation. See grace. But what? Unstable as water. Instability. Problem. I've met some people that they are very sound. They can, when you ask them about one thing, they can give 5 instances and all of that. But they are not stable. It's a problem. What do you want to do now? They will count 10 things they want to do. And they will not do anyone. So, we need to be under strong supervision of the church. You need to come and submit your life. But that life will not fall more. You cannot oversee that life. And the undoing of those people is that they believe they know what they are doing. Until time passes them by. Even if they get to the stage of they want to marry, you see them. They'll touch this one. Leave her. Touch this one. Go to this. They don't have decision. Unstable. And we all have it in measure. Instability. Meaning lacking commitment or being inconsistent with a particular cause. So, Reuben, thou art my firstborn. Oh, verse 4, unstable as water. This will not be our lot in Jesus' name. He said, thou shalt not excel. Because instability and excellence, they are opposites. You cannot excel while you are not stable. You can't. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. Imagine the concubine of your father. This is slave to Rachel. Then thou defilest thou it. It went up to my Cush. It take Moses to reverse this course. And do you know, is this same rebel that saved Joseph? They will have killed him. So it means that Reuben was restored along the line. Meaning there's hope to everyone. For everyone, there's hope. Our case have not been written off. Once you know there's the devil fighting you, the nature you are battling with, in any state you are, then you need to take a form of humility. Your issues, opening it up, is humility. But if you are so proud about whom you are or the challenges you are facing, then your problem will increase. Hallelujah. So what God demands from us is to let go of ourselves, to take up that status of servanthood. But the scripture says, Apostle Paul said, those things that were what? Of pride to me. I count them as what? As dung. Those things that he was saying, they are not ordinary. By 8:12, Paul has been called. Do you know what that means? He has read all the law. From Genesis to Deuteronomy. And he can quote it offhand. That he was putting demand on us in this season that we need to read. Before you count it dung. God is, they say, I should count it dung. So you are not being serious in anything you do. But no, I'm a filele. No, koko ni koto a filele. You are in school, you are not serious. You are jumping from one fellowship to another. You will be in this fellowship today, another time, in that you are unstable. And life doesn't run that way. You need to trace yourself back. You need to retrace your step. So, those things that were of what? Of gain. There is gain, no? But, you know, the people in this world, they have gain. They labor. And they have their reward. They have their gain. And also, you that is following Christ, sometimes we used to compare ourselves. Pastor Lida said something yesterday while we were going for the evangelism. He said, those people you want to minister to them to, don't mind. You are better than them. That was sink deep. That's actually how we should see ourselves. Christ is gain. The life you are receiving is gain. It makes you better. But oftentimes, we don't see it. You are looking at many things. You have been distracted by one man you must see, another man's house that he has built, another man's empire. You are not focusing on your growth because the prosperity is actually what we become at the end of the day. Wipe out Israel today. Just let them be left with two. They will reproduce in time. And they will become mighty on it. Why? Their seed of excellence is not in what they do, it's whom they are. So we should labor at ourselves. We should labor. You see, that excellent spirit, which is the same spirit of the promise, transcend through the generation of Abraham. Why? Abraham kept commandments. When I was studying about Joseph, I said, this same spirit is the same spirit that Abraham has. You see how he administered Egypt. It's the same thing. He took that thing after Abraham. So there are many values in us which we must find. And you can't find it without the spirit because the Holy Spirit himself, he is the fan. Scripture says about the John the Baptist, whose fan is in his hand. That spirit. So, Holy Ghost should make you better. You can't be speaking in tongues and your life doesn't gather. So, what kind of Holy Ghost? Are jumping here and there, doing this, doing that. And yet, our life is just looking higgy-agga. No, that is not Holy Ghost. So, we have better advantage in the spirit than an unbeliever. But most times, when you don't value what you have, you easily lose it. And you will focus on what you don't have, which will never come. So, let's focus on what we have. We have an inheritance. We have a blessing that transcends this earth. After all being said and done, whom are you going to become? What will you look like? You know, when they brought that coin to Jesus, Jesus told them, whose image is on this coin? He said, then give to Caesar. What belongs to Caesar? Then give to God. So, image formation is very, very important. Image is substance. That's why Jesus was called the express image of his what? Of his person. But this same Jesus have shown us the path. The path he walked to become that image. A form of what? A servant. Who dropped his reputation. You know, when they came to tell him that, okay, Herod has killed John the Baptist, he withdrew from that place and went into the wilderness. That is wisdom. He can command fire on Herod to show a kind of power. So every advantage that Jesus has, he lay it down. We must lay down our advantages. There are advantages we have, and we know. Because no man has an advantage that he doesn't know. The reason why God has given us those advantages is to serve. To serve your brother. I sat down one time and I view life all through. Meaning every man, any human being, you will be a servant all through your life. It's only if you are not coming into inheritance. As a father, you will serve your children, serve your wife. At old age, you still have responsibility. You see how the patriarchs, how they set up their children. They do marriage for them. Daddy was still talking about it in the meeting yesterday. The Jewish culture, their wedding cultural practice. When they want to do marriage or wedding, everything the wife needs, including the future. So that is why they even buy share for them to stabilize the family. But we don't have that in our culture. But we are learning a culture, because the Jewish culture is not just a culture that involves. Do not that culture involve out of laws and commandments. So is God, nature. Whatever you have seen the Israelites demonstrating today is from God. They might have corrupted it in one way or the other, but the purity came from God.
I recreate. I create. Open up. Open up. Open up. Open up. Open up. Open up. Open up your heart. For this my coming. It is my.
So that prophecy is clear. We should open up. This is the coming. And this is also the demonstration of God's love to us. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying in essence is that we have duty and responsibility under God as believer. to live out this life. It must be a conversation in our family, a conversation that informs our friendship, a conversation that affects our workplace, a conversation that affects all our daily affairs. When you are making your decision, when you are taking one, you must, this thing, this commandment, must be the template. That's why the scripture said, the Lord loves a broken and what? A contrite heart. He will not despise. So that must be the posture of our hearts. The sacrifice of God are a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. But the Lord see a proud man afar off. Doesn't allow him to come close. So, we have a duty. We need to take responsibility. To be an extension of life to every status, family, job, wherever, anywhere you are, children, adults, we must come to this point because everybody has something. We all have something to lay down. In fact, for you to assume that you don't have anything, meaning you have so much. That's what Jesus said to the rich, young rich ruler. Go and sell all that you have. Come, follow me. So what do you have? What do I have? You have so many things, but we must learn this culture of laying down, laying down, laying down our life. Because it will take your life. Actually, that life, like I often say, it's not your life. It's the life of the enemy sold to you. Now, when I was in school, we were about to submit some documents. So one of the documents fell out of the file. Nobody shouted, "My life, my life, my life." Actually, so, because in actual sense, that is his life. To a natural man, that is his life. Your certificates, your achievements, what the scriptures call the lust of eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the what? The pride of life. That's our riches on it. In the world. And every believer has this to a measure. But when they are taking it, it will be paining you. But it's because it's deep in the skin. You know, when they kill a cow and they want to scrape the air, I wonder if that cow is still alive, whether it will be smiling. So when they are scraping sin, nature of natures, you won't be smiling. You can't be smiling doing brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Some brother are torn in the flesh. And there's no how they want to remove torn. And you'll be smiling. Is it possible? It's not possible. And you that is being torn in the flesh, your time is also coming. Because we grow in batches. Some people are climbing and some people are torn in their flesh. So by the time you two grow, they will attach torn to you. In fact, normally, torn will be attached. Why? That torn is for your salvation. It's for your what? Salvation. So whatever you are doing today, know that you are sowing, and we must sow in righteousness. We must redeem the time. Because everything have a what? A just recompense. So whatever you are doing, you are not living your life carelessly anyhow. You are aware that you are sowing into life in order to reap at the future. Because lastly, our future is in God. in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 now, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, the thoughts of good and not of what? Evil. To give you what? An expected end. Okay, 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thought of what? Peace and not of evil. So you can't think for yourself. You don't even know the future. Future is Christ. Future is the Father. Future is God. So no man can define future outside them. They are your future. And every man invests into his future. Isn't it? We all invest into our future. So, but you can invest rightly when you allow the mind of Christ. So the thought I think towards you, most times when scripture says thought of Christ, it's not inclusive of a person. Church is a design of wisdom. The reason why we have brethren, pastors, they are all expression of wisdom. Our daddy is there. They are all a conglomeration of what? Thoughts. When daddy comes up, he teaches in different platforms, fulfill singleness, single and waiting, romantic friends, lively friends and partner. Those are thoughts. Those are thoughts. And they are the thoughts for our future. If we are there already, it means we don't need it. But the reason why heaven is opening up those fountains is because there's a future that God wants us to feature in. Thought of peace and not of what? Evil. So any thoughts or lifestyle outside Christ, Christ is peace, is what? Evil. To give you an expected what? End. May we end in God. May we end in salvation. May we not live our life for ourselves. Any man that lives for himself is dead while he yet lives. You are caught out to live for others. To live for your brethren. But she that liveth in what? Pleasure is dead. Why she liveth? She's living, no? In fact, she's enjoying life. Going everywhere. And sometimes even with prosperity. But the summary of that life is death. So we must live right. We must not just live. It's not enough to live. It is not enough to live. But are you living right? Some of us have double life. There's life we live in church. There's life we live outside. There are some strange relationship, fellowship, and company we are still keeping. You are living in pleasure. And that's death. Though you are living, you are enjoying it. So when the scripture says you should not be profane or a fornicator like Esau, Esau is not committed to life. So you might not be physically fornicator, but what's your commitment to life? Are you really committed? Are you really committed to the life? Conscious pay any life and chop life by. And we can ref ourselves from morning till Jesus come. But if that life, if we are not laboring to make life reveal, because the essence of life is what? Manifestation, which is glory. So it's beyond any life by angle life. What's the essence? What are you showing? Because glory is to reflect, is to show. So at your own measure, what are you showing? It's not until you become divine or you are sitting on the throne. why you are here and you are where you are now. What are you showing? What are you mirroring? So, we need to be fortified with this word, consciousness, as we live every day. As we live every day, this mind, which is the mind of Christ, must run us, must die to ourselves, lay down our will. First Timothy said that in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. This know also that in the last day, perilous time shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own self. So every other expression you see is selfishness. Love out of their world, own self. And every man, you know, we often think man is egocentric. That's true. Every human being is egocentric. It's just that man has it more. Man wants to enforce, wants to rule. And that nature is because it is twisted. That is not the essence God created it. It seems that men are more strong physically, though there are some women that are even more stronger than men physically. I'm talking about physical energy. But it's responsibility in shoulders. So you are given shoulder to lay down yourself, to lay down your will. So covetous, boaster, proud. People are proud. Not only in words, but in action. There's a way you dishonor people and disregard them. Snubbing. Even when you want to do things to people, there's a way you... Please, can you come to my office and see me in so-so's time? I might not be there. Wait for me. Yes, some believers are like that. To show a kind of unimportant hallelujah. I can't access my account number now. Come. By the time you come, I will forward it. Your gift is without honor. And in the sight of heaven, you have just done it because there is still self there. So whatever we do without removing self is not acceptable. Our sacrifice must be with honor. That's why God disdained Cain. It's not because he brought spoiled fruit or fresh fruit. No. The heart with which Cain offer. So we must learn honor. Learn how to honor people in greeting, in expression, in sacrifice, in labor, in being there for people, in assisting others. It's a kind of honor. You might have given some people money, and yet you are not honoring them. You must have done some things for people. In fact, you do it to show. So honor is a part to meekness. So we must learn honor. Sorry to say, men, some men, you can't function well under a female boss. You will die many times. Hallelujah. Every man, naturally, it will take Christ. So, and if heaven see that tendency in you, all your journey in life, in fact, by the time you will marry a boss. They will play you into that gallow. So, it is not demeaning for you to be under a female boss as a man. That's most of the thing we must settle very early in life as singles. Because we don't know the condition that God will arrange around you tomorrow or in the future. They will use that to teach you honor, reputation, laying down your reputation, and being a true servant. Because those who that will sit on the throne, they are servants. God is a servant. He's the chief servant. The Father is a servant. Jesus is a servant. They all lay down. They're supposed to have been enjoying deity. But they came into divinity. That is laying down reputation. God should be boss. Even his lordship, he is still with honor. So some of us, we don't know how to be lord with honor. You are a husband, but your lordship is not with honor. You are a wife. Your submission is not with... You know, submission can also be done with without honor. I have someone very close to me then. When we instruct that, go and wash the toilet. Me, lay for, sir. Chama, go fi, sir, see. Is that not submissive? She said it with like innocency. Eh? Sir, me le she, me le for. So your submissiveness can also be with dishonor. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Heaven will visit us with light. They will give us commandments personally. They will give us commandments. Aspects of our life that are still hidden, that are still shady, they will come there. They will come there in the name of Jesus. They will shine light on them in this season. Our sacrifice will be with honor. We will lay down our life more in the name of Jesus. Can we pray? Can we tell Jesus this morning?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.